history. In a world of magic, one family's extraordinary power to change their appearance will be left in the hands of one man.
Oh, yes, I give it cheese. Nice, you like? Oh, yes, you like it cheese, yeah. Papa.
Now, to solve the mystery.
It is time for you to find your mother and your father.
This simple waiter must become much more.
Now I can teach you to become a master of disguise.
Really? I'm going to be a master of disguise. I'm going to be a master of disguise. I'm going to
Enough!
Be a...
This summer...
Your training begins now.
Prepare to make the change.
You are a fatty.
What is happening?
Save me! Save me!
Sorry, Grandpa.
He will need a partner.
Assistants commonly fall in love with their disguisey masters. Can you resist, Pistachio?
Can you resist me?
I'll give it a shot.
He will need practice.
Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Now you try.
Oh, who's your daddy?
And a whole lot of patience.
You got a little tomato soup with a crouton?
No.
You got some Neapolitan ice cream, you know, you got the vanilla chocolate strawberry. One of the greatest things ever invented, and you don't got it!
Dana Carvey.
I am Prince Lalejama.
Swerve, Terry Swerve.
Are you a member of the Turtle Club?
Am I not turtly enough for the Turtle Club? Take me into my shell.
No, no, no.
Where'd he go?
The master of disguise.
I think it's time for you to go.
This is what you're doing. This is what I want you to do.
Did you just tell me to shut up?
Yes.
Welcome to Movie Umpers. My name is Bob Sham.
I'm Angela.
And the sounds here may be dogs, and we are closing in on the last leg here of our April theme. Comedies that flopped in the box office. We're calling it Awkward Laughter 2, The Flop. And yeah, a lot of what we're talking about is movies that they expected to do better in their time. And when I was setting up this month, I originally was going to have us talk about the movie Cable Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think that is a movie in hindsight that everyone's like, that's actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that movie made a profit. It was just like critically split in a different role for Jim Carrey, who was paid $20 million to be in that movie.
Jesus.
So he was like a third of the budget, essentially,
or
a third of the sales. But what I didn't realize is that I just assume I've never seen, until we talked about it for this show, I'd never seen the movie we're discussing right now. I just assumed that it was a box office flop. It was certainly a critical flop, maybe one of the more critically panned movies we're discussing all month long, but it actually made money, at least based upon its budget, $16 million, and according to Wikipedia, the box office was $43.4
million. Well,
I don't know how much the rentals were. Rentals were still kind of significant at this time. I don't know how much they paid for marketing. But this movie, believe it or not, this movie is the, other than the Jerry Lewis movies, is the one movie that appeared to at least more than double its budget with ticket sales.
I did not know that.
Which is funny because this is the worst movie we're discussing all month long.
Maybe ever.
A lot of movies, people have been bringing it up like, is this in the argument for worst movie ever? We've had this conversation with Ishtar. We've had this conversation with Freddy Got Fingered. Those, in particular, I think there's actually something interesting about those movies. And I don't think they deserve that label. But this is a movie that's in that conversation that I'm like, yeah, maybe they were on to something. I did not know this was going to be a kids movie. I thought it was going to be a crude kind of comedy, like as what we know of Dana Carvey and his stand-up, his past shows, his time on SNL. And I, when I was a kid, I loved Dana Carvey, that whole cast of SNL in that time.
Yeah.
I used to be so obsessed with Saturday Night Live.
It was great.
I guess that's everyone's story, right? Everyone loves the SNL from when they were
like
trying to figure out
11 to 14. Yeah.
Where they were trying to get their sense of humor and figure out what they found was funny.
We just really lucked out with Adam Sandler and Dana Carvey.
But how does someone who I genuinely who has genuinely made me laugh very hard make something like this? Because I don't know, you know, a lot of discussions, it's like in the editing room, this happened here or whatever. This seems like a complete flop from top to bottom. I haven't even said the name of the movie.
I was going
to
say, please intro the movie.
The Master of Disguise from 2002, directed by Perry Andel and Blake, written by Dana Carvey and Harris Goldberg, starring Dana Carvey, Brent Spiner, Jennifer Esposito, Harold Gould, James Brolin, and such and such. Happy Madison production company had an assist with this one. I think Adam Sandler is is a producer somewhere in there. Seems like there's a lot of producers on this.
I know it's PG, but is it a kids movie? This is gonna
be fun. I think so. I mean, they make adult references, which isn't not like pornographic.
No, they're talking a lot
like
about booties,
cultural,
but that's it.
Cultural stuff.
Yeah, true.
That seemed like it'd been around for an Exorcist reference, a Bo Derek 10 reference. Bo Derek has a cameo. She's a disguise, but she has a cameo. Mm-hmm. And man, Bo Derek really coasted off that 10 shit for a long time.
Yes.
I think it was in one of the Chris Farley movies. She was in one of those. I also didn't realize that, you know, we're going from Dana Carvey playing a character that inhabits. How do I even talk about this movie? His name is Pistachio Disguise.
Hey, Mama. Pistachio.
Why don't you ask your nice young lady friend to come in and I'll make a corned beef ravioli.
What a grand idea, Mama.
Oh, my sunny son, handsome son.
Naturally, Pistachio wanted to find a girl just like Mama.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, like, if this is for kids, is it just kind of... Is it... No, I know what a good kids movie is like.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of good kids movies. And I'm trying to imagine... Anyone who was a kid when this movie came out is now a grown adult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear anyone be like, Master of Disguise was my shit.
I've never heard anyone mention this movie outside of what are the worst movies ever. Truly, like if there's a conversation, it might come up, but then everyone around is like, oh yeah, I've never seen it. You know, I had seen the very beginning of this movie once and it got turned off because of how immediately just... I don't even want to say dumb. It's just not good. It's just not good from the beginning. Like you said, it's not even a thing where you can talk about editing. Like we've talked about, you know, maybe Run, Ronnie, Run would have been better if it had better editing. This movie...
Everyone failed.
...doesn't even have jokes. They're not jokes.
They are the most surface kid-type jokes. And there's just jokes that are executed just weird. Like the Brent Spiner character... of Devlin Bowman, he has like this, he farts whenever he gets all worked up.
When he laughs, it's when he's laughing.
But it's weird because it goes into this pause. And it seemed like it'd be funnier if he just farted and pretended like it wasn't happening.
But it stops the laughter, yeah.
But it does seem like kid's humor, but for like the dumbest kid. Like there's got to be 100 other better kid things out there, and there are. I've seen good kid movies.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of lore surrounding this movie that I've always been fond of.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you, most of my information is that this movie is terrible. I can't believe it came out.
I know what story you're going to tell.
The story and how I've heard it and how I used to imagine it, because it's more fun this way, is that they were shooting this movie during 9/11. And it was the turtle club scene. And so Dana Carvey is dressed as the turtle.
Turtle.
Is he okay?
He's fine.
He's fine, turtle.
Turtle.
He's dreamt of this place ever since he was a child.
Turtle.
Do you think we can go in for a moment? We'll be out in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
All right.
So something happens where the planes are hitting the towers and Dana Carvey dressed as turtle is just watching 9/11 happen. So it's that image of just the dumbest, some of the one of the worst comedies ever made. In the background, one of the biggest terror attacks in American history is happening. And at the end of the movie, he shows up dressed as George W. Bush to foil the villain. And we've discussed a lot of these late 90s, early 2000s movies. They're transitioning out of the 90s, and then 9/11 happens. After 9/11 and pretty much the beating the war drums up to invading Iraq, the media almost across the board was sucking George W. Bush's dick. Yeah. If you were like, wait, I don't think this guy's doing things that will benefit us in the long run, you would be called unpatriotic, and you would be shouted down. You would get no media voice whatsoever. People really forget how bad it was back then. Well, we were like in college. We were young adults. We were very idealistic.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I remember my mom put on some kind of like jingoistic bumper sticker on my car without even asking.
Oh, my God.
Some like these colors don't run shit kind of junk. That shit was being churned out the whole time. A lot of things are bad now because they were bad then. And they're a big reason why things are bad now. But people at least were... now have different ideas. They are against something that is representing power structures. Back then, the administration was like, you're not allowed to criticize us. And the media really did not very much for like years.
Yeah.
But George W. Bush becomes, well, it's not literally him. It's Dana Carvey in disguise as George W. Bush. So there's a little bit of that. That's just what it made me think of.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
How W shows up and he takes care of business, right?
Yeah.
But
catches the bad guy, saves the day.
Well, apparently the real story, there's a couple interpretations of this story. I read some article that some writer, he reached out to everyone involved in Master of Disguise because this has been an urban legend for a long time. And he, according to his article, I wish I could remember what the site here. I'll probably make a link. I think it's like Dissolver, one of those fucking culture mag websites that are probably now completely defunct. But he said he got the director, Perry Andelin Blake, responded to him and explained to him, no, because the time frame from when it happened and the West Coast time is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So there was something about that. There were also some claims that it was done shooting by that time. But the director claims that it happened and we were all getting ready to shoot for the day. And then it was like, this day is, we're just going to take the day off. And a week later, they're coming back together after they had not seen each other since they took some time off because of the attack. And then when they came back, they were doing the turtle scene. And so Dana ends up in this kind of memorial circle where it's still somber, still being a moment of silence for 9/11. But he is dressed as the turtle doing that. But Dana Carvey claims, he kind of mimics the claim that it did happen on 9/11.
Right. What happened was they obfuscated it because I was in it all that day. And then they said, we're going to have a group prayer about 9/11.
Right.
And I couldn't get the thing. I would have held everyone up for a half hour getting all that prosthetic makeup on. So as I remember it, there was all of us, everyone else, civilian clothes. I'm dressed as the turtle man with the bald head, and I'm holding hands, and I'm lowering my head and praying. I just saw at the moment, this is really strange.
It's very ridiculous. And also, that even someone would repeat that dumb story that, like, anyway, did you have your shell on or off?
Maybe some of these men are getting their things confused, or maybe just not letting the truth get in the way of a good story.
He could have been getting into that makeup on that morning. I mean, yeah, if you think about the timing, I feel like I was finding out about it around 9 a.m. here, which means it was like 7 a.m. there in California.
Yeah, yeah. And
the
director's take does seem to make more sense in terms of what people were doing.
It's so possible that, I mean, the makeup, that is... The face makeup for the turtle is the only interesting thing about that entire scene, if it's even interesting, but it's very well done. So I could imagine
that.
Wow,
a compliment.
I know. I mean, that's like one of two I can make, but like the way they made his lips, it was very seamless. You know, like it didn't look cheap. Like it looked like it probably took some time. So I would imagine he could have been in a makeup chair.
Pistachio Disguisey is descendant of Masters of Disguises. And his dad gets kidnapped, and his grandpa, uncle or something.
His grandpa comes to him and tells him that he's a disguisee. His dad never wanted him to know because he didn't want that life for his son. So, but the thing about Pistachio is he's weird, and he's the only one in his family who has this extremely strong Italian accent. But as far as we can tell, he's just worked in an Italian restaurant his whole life. He doesn't really... The grandpa shows up when the dad and the mom get kidnapped to tell him, like, you are a disguisee, you have to go save your parents. And I can't help you, so I'm going to train you. So you get, like, a whole training sequence.
Jennifer Esposito plays his assistant.
She's the mom of this little boy who is, like, a klutzy little boy who he kind of befriends. And he calls him Brave Barney? Is his name Barney?
Barney. Yeah, his name is Barney.
Yeah. The kid's cute. I mean,
he's got a dog named
the cuteness.
Why do I feel so deflated?
Because it's a terrible
talking
movie.
About it is really bad. Please. Only children so young that they can't that they'll never retain the memory.
Abraham Lincoln was such a boring speaker that the disguises had to help him get elected president.
If you'll excuse me, I just need a drink of water.
Rough crowd.
Yeah! Let's party! Hit it, boys!
I like to move it, move it. I like to move it.
Vote for me! We'll get funky this year!
This is for children of like 3 years old who will never remember ever watching this.
I don't even feel like it's that because it would scare a child of 3 years old. There's a fucking cobra that he's like making out with at one point.
That was funny.
That was funny.
We've had this is our fifth Asian joke of the month. We were prepared to see a lot of them, but I think the only time I laughed was when the cobra started making out with him.
God help me, I love it.
Yeah,
he knitted
it
a sweater at the end.
That I did laugh, I'll admit.
And listen,
so I guess it's gonna get like a half a point.
The cuteness
that.
Was cute. The dog, the cuteness.
Oh, right. The dog is named the cuteness.
Yeah, that's his name. And that is what he's credited as at the end. So I think his name is really the cuteness.
Did they know it was like a kid's movie? Because I never knew this whole time. I thought it was going to be like a crude Sandler-esque type comedy.
I thought it was going to be crude as well. And I loved Dana Carvey.
Yeah, but now we hate him.
I like his movies.
You said loved past tense, so now you hate him.
Well, I mean, I'm not like, I wouldn't, he's not on my top list of dudes currently, but in the 90s, I really loved him.
Yeah, he's still great.
Jennifer Esposito is his assistant. She has a shitty boyfriend. She ends up falling in love with him while they're rescuing his parents. He does a bunch of terrible disguises and then rescues his parents. The end.
When he's the turtle, he bites a guy's nose off and then spits it back onto his face. He has like weird wizard powers.
So yeah, that's very cartoony. Like you're right, it's very Jerry Lewis.
I probably would rather watch any Jerry Lewis movie over this.
Yeah.
I think by the time we got to The Disorderly Orderly, I was kind of weirdly into Jerry Lewis.
One thing I did think was interesting in this movie is the pop-up book. So something weird would happen, and then he would go to his pop-up book that's like the disguisey guide, but it would be so incredibly specific as to backing up what he needed to do that was kind of funny to me. I like a pop-up book.
So you like pop-up books. The dog is cute.
And I like the snake.
The snake making out.
The dog rides a skateboard at one point. It's very cute.
Again, this movie more than doubled its budget. I thought it was going to be just isn't that the way life goes? But it was so critically panned that there was no chance of... Like, they can technically call it a success, right?
Yeah. If it came out now, it wouldn't be because word of mouth would spread so fast that it would drop off second day.
Unless they spent so much money on marketing that it didn't really make much of a profit. This is gonna be fun. Let's fucking wrap this up. Usually we have a lot of fun doing this. This was hard. it's shit. Like, no ifs, ands, or buts. No offense to Dana Carvey or Data or Jennifer Esposito, but it's just, we own this. I bought this because I thought it was on streaming for like a long time, and then I realized it wasn't, and I was like, no, I don't want to rent it. Like, it was only like $5 plus shipping. No, I didn't even. I think the shipping was free. I think we just paid $5 for the DVD of this. So we own what is definitely probably the worst movie in our collection.
So Dana Carvey owes us $5.
Nah, it's all right. This was a secondhand sell.
True.
We didn't actually give him. He already made his money. You're going to give this 1 through 5. I'm going to give this 1 through 5 combined for best out of 10.
0.5?
Yeah, 0.5. Okay, folks, take a look. The Master of Disguise by Perry Andolin Blake is in between the films. It's in our F tier.
Yeah.
We don't get many F tiers. Usually we're nicer to movies, but sometimes a movie's just so bad that it just falls hard. The Master of Disguise by Perry Andolin Blake from 2002 is in between Tammy and the Other Sister, sharing the rankings with movies like I Am Sam, Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers, A Christmas Melody, and Thor, Love and Thunder.
Wow.
It's as bad, if not worse, than those movies. There you go. Dana Carvey. There's no way he could make anything worse than this. So it's only up from here on for Mr. Carvey. Dana Carvey Show is great.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't watched Opportunity Knock since I was like 15, but sure. It's definitely better than this. Check the show notes for links to other places to find us. I can't even like riff like on how bad. Like I could riff on Jerry Lewis a little better, but this one is just like, I just feel evaporated from this one. And this is also one that a lot of people have already put in the time.
I mean, when watching trash a movie was this much of a trudge, like recording it. Like, talking about this movie is exhausting.
Well, we're making ourselves do it. It's not like we don't have a choice. So, like, subscribe, leave a comment or correction.
We did this to ourselves.
Yeah, we're doing it to ourselves. It's not always pretty. Most of the time, we're having a good time. But this time, we did not. There's an alternate ending where apparently he defeated the villain by dressing up like Captain America. They actually cut a lot of stuff on it.
Witty remarks pour out of this fella. Better get out my trusty dumbrella. There we all get it? Dumbrella.
The credits to this movie didn't even know when to end. It just seemed like it was tacking on like more gags. I don't even think this movie's that long, but it just felt so long.
It felt like 4 hours.
It's a 1 out of 10 for the Master of Disguise. It really is as bad as they say it is.
I almost feel like that's generous. Like, it could be it could be lower.
Even online, the websites that rate movies, this is amongst the lowest compared to everything else we've discussed. It doesn't change here.
Mm-mm.
But let's get the fuck out of here.
Justice for Ishtar.